You are listening to an SAFM podcast, 104 to 107 nationwide. Stream us live on www.safm.co.za or via the SABC Plus app. SABC News, independent and impartial.
Slightly less than what we had targeted, but of course, you can see at that levels, this is where we are now. What we are seeing is in line, very much in line with what we thought we would be experiencing at this time. One of the key aspects of that plan was to make sure that first we take care of the key power stations that were doing well, make sure that we maintain those plans, those power stations, they don't deteriorate. The second aspect of the plan was to look at the power stations that were contributing 80% of the problems and focus on those power stations by making sure that we do proper maintenance on them so that we can get them to a level where they are reliable. And there was a very, very strong focus. And that focus was led by, again, one of the key decisions that the board made, is that we need to have a leader of generation that has a deep understanding of the environment. That's when we decided to appoint Mr. Beki Nxumalo, who has been leading this effort for us from April last year. He has been a power station general manager himself. He has been a maintenance person within Eskom as well. So we found that he was the right person to be driving this agenda for us. The third element of the plan was to make sure that all power stations, not only these few that we have identified, are being led by people that understand what they were doing. So one of the first responsibilities of Beki was to look at his team and ask himself that, do I have the right team for the task that we're facing? To cut the long story short, he was able to make some changes to his team. Right now, we've got people who we feel that were comfortable that they can handle the challenges that those power stations were facing. So that's the background that the team wanted me to share with you. But another aspect of the change that we have been driving was also to look at the CEO, making sure that we've got the right person to be leading this company going forward. And of course, we did that. It took a long time, but we are very, very happy to have Dan, who decided to raise his hand and decided to come back here home. Dan was significant, by far was the best candidate that we had. When you look at the challenges that are facing this company, we needed somebody that could connect with the culture, because most of our challenges here in Eskom, they manifest themselves as technical problems, but in reality, most of those problems are largely people related. They've got a huge element of culture on it. So we needed somebody who could connect with the people, be able to excite them with regards to where things are going, but at the same time be able to hold them accountable when things have been asked that you need to go do this and go do that. If things are not happening, we needed somebody who's be able to have those tough conversations. So that's one side. The other aspect of what we were looking for was someone who has got the deep technical understanding of the environment. He is an engineer, he has been here before, you know, so that's the other big plus that was key for us in selecting him. Then the third element was to also make sure that we've got somebody that understands where we need to be going. You know, there's a huge change into renewables. We need to make sure that this company is a company that is able to be relevant as we move in that direction and participate effectively. So he checked all of those boxes. So he has been now in the role for 2 months, and we have asked him to pay attention to 3 things Daphne has mentioned, and he has been doing a great job in engaging with the many stakeholders out there. He has been engaging with our employees internally, having a deep understanding now. He has starting to have that understanding. That is why today we felt comfortable that he should lead the leaders, the management team, in the presentation of this winter plan, which I'm going to ask him now to come and share with us. Dan, over to you. Thank you so much.
Chairman, thank you very much. Colleagues on the podium with me this morning, we had a briefing with all our senior executives across the business. Many were here in person. Some joined us remotely. We took a moment to reflect on the milestone that was achieved by the business last night. We reached 30 days without a load shedding, a feature that in the past was a non-event. But for us, given the past 2 years' experience, this has been a very good moment to reflect on. And the reason why we did that is because we now can begin to role model what good looks like. We're not there yet for our staff and for them to actually yearn for more in terms of repeating the experiences of the last 30 days. We recognize that what really transpired here is a culmination of intervention started a year ago. And to that extent, we wanted to make sure that that moment does not go unnoticed. It is important that we build on it, that the confidence of our teams increases from that perspective, and in that way we can move towards doing this as a daily routine. So let me take you through the state of the system update for winter 2024. Both Becky and Monde will also join me. So Homotso, who runs our transmission business, is out of the country on business, but we have all aspects of it covered. Just as a starting point and to make sure that there's no ambiguity in terms of the key messages that we want to leave you with, I thought it prudent that we really state up front some of the key takeaways that you need to note from this conversation this morning. The first one is that when you look back at the winter 2023 system address and the actual performance, we stayed within the frequency range as anticipated or as forecasted at the time. And we have stayed within stages 2 and 4 most of the time, with an occasional touching point at stage 6 through that. And you will see why I'm building up the story this way as we go through the presentations that and the slides hereafter. The second point is, of course, that the chairman has touched on around the generation recovery plan. This plan really gained traction as the winter of last year began. It focused on people, both leadership and our staff's competencies, morale, issues of culture. It focused on plant performance and also process and governance that dealt with how we ran the business. As I said, this process is an internal-driven process based on the many reports that we had received. We've included also the recommendations of the VGB report that came later on last year. And Becky will actually show you a history of all of those, how all of those are collated into our execution plan. We do have, of course, support also from the NICOM structures as set up from the government-led process in there. When we take you through to the next slides, you'll see that between April 2023 last year and March this year, the reliability of our power plants has improved. And this is as we continued with the execution of the generation recovery plan. Two key KPIs there, year-on-year improvement in terms of unplanned losses at 9%, and also the decline in the number of unit trips, just under 20%. The latter is very important because it deals with the reliability of the fleet once it is out of maintenance. And it is this component that will get a lot of attention as we proceed beyond just the addition of capacity to our fleet. The frequency and intensity of load shedding in the last year has also declined. We will be able to show you the graphs that show that, which will explain to you why performances as seen over the last 30 days will be anticipated. We're not out of the woods yet, but it is a trend that is encouraging given the investment that has gone into the Generation Recovery Plan. For winter 2024, which is the point that we are here about, the likely scenario from our assumptions is that load shedding will be maintained within stage two at most. In the extreme case where the unreliability increases, that component may go occasionally stage five, but we really think that on the basis of what we see, the performance of the fleet, load shedding will stay within stage two from a planning perspective. This is on the back of a decrease in terms of the baseline unreliability capacity reduction of 1,000 megawatts, which is what we use for our baseline assumptions there. Over the winter period, work continues, and we are targeting to reduce the unplanned losses by a further 1.7 gigawatts. This will be made up of 1.3 gigawatts from a partial load loss reduction that Beck is driving with the team, but also Monde will also show you how the demand side management initiatives are also underway. I just want to remind all of us that our ability to beat load shedding this winter still depends on our collective collaboration. And to this extent, we'll be launching the energy saving campaign in the month of May and asking all of us to play a part in this regard. So how have we set up our outlook briefing this morning? We will recap on the winter 2023 outlook performance. We'll now set the context for the winter 2024 outlook that gives you some of the key drivers of the performance that you anticipate. And Becky will delve into the finer details of what work is really being done in tackling unreliability of the units as we proceed. As the chairman indicated, we are in the middle of the journey that we had set out since last March. Last year, we showed you this picture that indicated load shedding forecasting ranges, the base case based on 15,000 megawatts of UCLF and a ranging up to 18,000 megawatts. We stayed within the base case in the 1.5 gigawatt stage and in that process managed to stay within stage two and four as indicated with occasional stage six load shedding. The actual load losses averaged about 16.5 gigawatts. And what is really changing as we go into this season's forecast is that the base level for UCLF number as we go through is lower by 1,000. And when you understand the capacity that we have, it does not look as a big number, but when you actually understand the implications in terms of the levels of load shedding, to be able to bank that capacity is an important aspect. And how did we get there? When you look at the time period between the last winter and now, you can actually see on this trend the reduction in the unplanned losses, a 9% drop as I indicated. It is mostly coming from the priority stations that were targeted as focal points. We also have the benefit of the earlier return of the four Kusilo units that were out. And as we speak, the losses are averaging around 14.2. Our focus and target in the coming financial year, or this financial year that we are in, is to keep this below 14 gigawatts. This is where the first capacity release is really coming from. The slope decline is not as fast as we want to. Our focal point this year is to really deal with six or seven key areas that causes unreliability. And once we tackle them, we should be able to see ourselves comfortably at lower levels than this. The second point that I want to also share with you from last year's performance to date is the continuing decline in terms of the frequency and intensity of load shedding. And from this graphical depiction, you can actually see that starting with stage six in black, stage five in red, stage four brown, you can actually see the phasing off of this from left to right, April 23 through to March 2024, dominated by mostly stages two and three and one, and no load shedding to date when it comes to the April month. Again, the return of the capacity that we have spoken about, the decrease in unreliability of our fleet is contributing towards the performance that you actually observing. I think I need to go back to the first point that I probably didn't spend time on with regards to the 30 days of consecutive no load shedding. This was achieved with the diesel spend being 50% of the budget, a budget that is actually half of what was there previously. So when Becky shows you the build-up of the the EAF and also the actual numbers of diesel spent, you will begin to relate yourselves to a narrative that what is really behind the performance that we are seeing. There is capacity that is emerging from the work that we are doing from maintenance, and we are not burning diesel to the extent that others would like to believe. In fact, with my understanding, there's quite a number of vessels floating in our ports, in our seas now, unable to sell the diesel that they anticipated will need at this point in time. So for winter 2024, as I indicated, we anticipate to maintain load shedding within stage two. This is premised on the 14,000 megawatts of unplanned outages. We are doing a lot of work and focusing on that one aspect. To date, in the April month, because this forecast, we really began with it at the beginning of April, we've seen good progress that is really moving us from the most likely scenario, that is moving us towards the base case where we have, for April, not experienced any load shedding through to date. The plan is to continue to drive our teams to perform at the level that we have experienced thus far. We should, at worst, place us in the middle of the forecast window that we see through that part. Load losses, capacity losses, will become a big focal point over and above just the capacity returns that we have put on. I'll pause here and allow Becky to come and unpack some of the activities that we are doing within the generation recovery plan itself.
Well, we'll also pause it there. And that, of course, Dan Marokane, the CEO of Eskom, and speaking there about Eskom's winter outlook, saying that at this stage, perhaps worst case scenario would be a stage five. Also talking about Eskom to launch the energy saving campaign, which the next speaker, of course, will address. We'll leave it that particular update there for the time being.
You can find SAFM Current Affairs on 104 to 107 nationwide. Our podcasts are available for download on all our digital platforms. SAFM, leading the conversation.